Although today you run the risk if you talk outside, you just may become a popsicle. Because Jason Cairns, it is cold outside.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is bitterly cold outside again this morning. Yes.
In fact, let's go outside right now. We've got a correspondent. How cold is it?
Baby, it's cold outside.
Yeah, Tweety Bird. So there you go.
Yeah, it's. I was looking already at the weather this morning, and just it's brutal.
Yeah.
That's, I guess, what we get for living in Wisconsin.
I think the adjective I came up with as I had to dash back outside again, and then I saw I left my lights on and I didn't have my coat. I'm like it is insanely cold. That's my adjective. Maybe that's what we'll ask for people's adjectives this morning on the listener line. What was your what's your adjective to describe the cold? So mine is insanely.
Yeah, I said brutal. Yeah, I said brutal. I think that describes it. So
yeah.
Feels like you get beat up by the cold when you walk outside.
Yes, so yes, exactly. It's very rough. All right, well, hey, we're spending some time in Colossians at the start of the year, and I got chapter 1, verses 4 through 6 in the New Living, and then we want to hear what you got in Letters to the Beloved. Sure. I thought it was interesting, in the show that precedes this, Compassion Radio today, they were working through, like, John chapter 10, I think, and the wife, Bram Floria's wife, was talking about the fact of putting her own, doing some things I think you did with Letters to the Beloved. She talked about putting her own name in there and making it personal. And I'm like, that's kind of the concept you did with that devotional, right? Commentary.
Yeah, I just told my dad that this weekend, that was really the invitation here, was to really see yourself in the story. So,
What did you give him a copy? I mean, what did he think? Like, wow, this work that my son produced. What did he think of it?
So I gave him a copy shortly before it came out. And so he said he's in somewhere in John at this point, I think he said. And he's loving it. He also has a copy of the Upper Room Devotionals, I think. And he said he's on his fourth or fifth time through that. So he's really resonating with the things I'm writing. And I think it's more than just that he's my dad. You know, I think that definitely helps things. But he's loving Letters to the Beloved as well. Jason, it's a really big book. And I'm like, yeah.
You had to, that's got to be wonderfully, I mean, there may be other things, but to have your dad react that way, wow, that's just a great attaboy, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
All right, let's dive in here. Colossians 1, verse 4, Paul writes, "For we have heard that you trust in Christ Jesus and that you love all of God's people. You do this because you're looking forward to the joys of heaven as you've been ever since you first heard the truth of the good news." Verse 6, "This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's changing lives everywhere. Just change yours that very first day you heard and understood the truth about God's great kindness to sinners." So what do you say in Letters to the Beloved about it?
Yeah, so what I wrote was, Paul regularly prayed for churches he planted and those started by others. Prayers offered on behalf of others are sweet words to my ears. Get into the habit of thanking me when you witness evidence of my grace. The Colossian believers were known for their love for the church, their faith in my son's finished work, and their hope in my coming kingdom. I have saved you by grace to live a life of love. Rest not only in what I have done, but also in what I am still doing. I am restoring all things.
Hmm. Yeah, one of the things that strikes me is, like, as I was reading, verse 5 talks about, you do this because, you know, and it's talking about you love all of God's people. You do this because you're looking forward to the joys of heaven. Paul gets to this later in Colossians 3 about setting your mind on heaven. That seems to be a big theme here about your thought is toward heaven, and then it should produce love on earth, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, and I think we're called to be the kind of people who have heaven in view. And I think we saw that in the life of Jesus, you know, that his consistent message was the kingdom of God, and, you know, or the kingdom of heaven, as it's described in Matthew. And we don't want to create such a huge division between what is coming and what is now, right? I mean, we want to become people of love now, while heaven is in view.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
all right, great stuff here on a Monday morning. Letters to the Beloved. Again, you can read it straight through like your dad is, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but maybe, you know, you're somewhere else and you want to check out. It's just something to kind of supplement your Bible reading, your Bible study.
You bet.
So check it out. So very good. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Working our way through Colossians here. Well, it was the regular season finale. The Packers at Detroit. And let's see if Drew Fralick knows how the game ended. Good morning, Drew.
Hey, what's up, Mark?
How'd that Packer game with the Lions finish up yesterday?
Well, you know I don't watch the games, right? Because I am practicing self-love.
Yeah.
But I did see the score. I just have to say, we knew Dan Campbell was going to do this, right? This is what he said he would do at the beginning of the season. He was going to, you knock us down,
right.
We get back up.
Yeah.
We take a hunk out of you.
Bite kneecaps,
yeah. You'd get the number one seed, and then we'd win a meaningless game against you in January. That was part of the plan, right?
You know, it was good to see him. It was good to see him smile, though. You know, I felt like there was joy in Mudville yesterday. So,
oh, he's very joyful. We're very joyful.
Yeah. And because and Jacksonville still gets the number one pick. They stunned Indy yesterday, so. And pulling some tricks out of the bag, too, some trick plays yesterday. And between that and the San Francisco game, I kind of thought maybe, you know, trick plays is the way to go moving forward here, I guess.
I think you just run a trick play every time. Yeah, it's great. It's fun.
Yeah. All right. Meanwhile, some sad news today. And Bob Saget, dead at the age of 65, the dad from Full House, the original host of America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah, and I'm on a lot of these, like, comedian chat groups, you know, as you probably imagine.
Uh-huh.
And so they were talking about that yesterday. I think that Bob would probably poke fun at his own death a little bit, so I'll poke a little fun at it here as well. Like, there was that movie back in the day, I don't know if you remember, it had Norm Macdonald, Artie Lang. It was called Dirty Work, right? It was this comedy movie. And people were commenting on how ironic it is that Norm passed away, Super Dave passed away, and Bob Saget passed away.
Huh.
And the last person to be alive is Artie Lang, who is this comic who's, like, famous for saying that he's the only person he's ever known who got fat while doing drugs. So, famously unhealthy, and he's the last one left. So, it's pretty bizarre, you know. But Bob Saget was a huge influence in the comedy world, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty big news.
I can see you. I can imagine you on a sitcom. I mean, again, we only met in person one time, 1 week back in June of 2019. But which, by the way, there is another gathering March of this year back at the same place, Billy Graham Center. Yeah, it's like Larger Story, the Larry Crabb kind of the posthumous ministry called Larger Story. They're reconvening almost a year after his death. But I can imagine you in your own sitcom. So what? What would be the concept? What would be the premise?
Okay, so I do have a concept for a sitcom, right? It's more of a reality show, and it's called Till Death Do Us Part.
Okay.
And basically, the idea is to bring the divorce rate down. So it's like you have a bunch of couples who are thinking about getting married, and then they go through this premarital assessment, and then based on the results of that, they find the weak points in the relationship, and then they have to go through challenges based on those results.
Hmm.
So, like, you know, they spend like a week locked in an apartment with an obnoxious teenager or, you know, they have all their finances wiped out for 6 months and they have to somehow survive or, you know, they instead of just like housework, they have to like de-hoard a house in Detroit in like 24 hours without arguing. And then they can ring a bell, be like, I don't want to get married to you.
Wow.
And,
kind of testing.
And then the prize is an all expenses paid, wedding and, honeymoon. That's my idea too.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
That's kind of testing the commitment of are you really right for each other in the engagement sense. So, yeah, there you go. All right.
Yeah, if you're out there in listener land, you want to steal that idea, feel free. I don't know a lot of Hollywood executives in Detroit.
Right. Very good. All right. Enjoy the afterglow of the Lions win. We'll talk to you
next week.
There we go, our buddy Drew Fralick.
We are up a degree. It's 14 degrees below zero. Weekend recap time coming up on 20 past 7 here in the WIB Wake Up Show. Caleb and Havel with you. Susan still in warmer climes. and envying that just a little bit looking at the temperature this morning. Well, it was kind of a pajama pants weekend as we stayed home a lot, again, dealing with some sickness in the family, too. And so we didn't actually get to make it up to church yesterday. And then on Saturday, just kind of a stay at home day for most of us. It really was fun to, I'm not going to lie, I watched a lot of sports, but just to hang out, interact with my children a little bit more, see the ways they play, their imaginative play. And then last night, Lily got the game Clue for Christmas. And it's interesting fun. Playing the game Clue when not everyone playing can read. And so we're working on that and learning that game. And it's a good educational game to learn strategy and process of deduction and all of that. So, yeah, we had a good time with that last night.
There you go. Colonel Mustard in the kitchen, right? All right. I had three things. I would say I'm going to go joy, pain, and blessing. The joy was Friday night, our last family time together before my wife and Grace headed to Milwaukee, and then Grace flew out of O'Hare yesterday to Paris, and she's waiting for her flight to Norway as she does a discipleship training school with Youth with a Mission. And we did family videos. And let me say, that was the perfect way to just, you know, laugh and remember and see little Grace. And now this strong-willed leader woman, off she goes at age 18 to Europe and discipleship training. So that was great. Watch your family videos if you haven't in a while. The pain was, I'm into Scrabble Go. And I've hooked up with this guy, Thor. His name's Thor.
Wow. And so, God of Thunder.
He had beaten me 11 out of 20. So I was looking to almost even things 11-9. I'm up 62 points. He drops the word empaneled. It's 32 points, but he gets an extra 50 for using all his letters.
Wow.
He beats me by 16. That happened late in the game. That was pain.
Man.
And finally, the blessing was Mykon Cinemas is showing the first season, in conjunction with Fellowship Church, the first season of The Chosen, Sunday nights at 6, the first 8 weeks of the year. I got to say, I've seen this on the phone or a laptop, but there's nothing like seeing it on the big screen.
The big screen, it's something special.
Yes, it's making a much bigger impact. I know other people were huge fans, but for me, seeing it on the big screen, Dawson came with me last night. He agreed, the big screen making the difference. So check that out. It's coming Sunday nights at 6 o'clock at Mykon in Chippewa.
It is that time of week. We've had a hiatus for a few weeks with the holidays, but now it's back to Make Us Laugh Monday, first time in 2022 here on the Wib Wake Up Show.
Yeah, I got to tell you, usually gathering them and, you know, I've kind of taken a break from gathering the jokes. And then when 7:45 on Monday is approaching, yeah, things get a little desperate. So, all right, you want me to start it off?
You know what? I can start one
all
off,
right,
too.
Go ahead.
This was pretty big news over the weekend, but some people may have missed it. Did you hear about the huge theft of toupees?
No.
Yeah, it really happened. I guess police are combing over the area.
All right. Oh, man.
All right, I'm going to start you off with this one this morning. What does a dyslexic, agnostic, insomniac do at night?
Not sure.
He stays up wondering if there really is a dog.
Oh, goodness. Well, here on Make Us Laugh Monday on the Wib Wake Up Show, two windmills are standing in a field. One asks, hey, what kind of music do you like? The other replies, I'm a big metal fan. A windmill, it's a big
there
metal fan.
There you go.
All right. Your turn, please.
I'm going to try this one. A vegan said to me, people who sell meat are gross. I said, people who sell fruit and veg are grosser. Grocer.
Okay,
oh, man.
And finally, we got two new dogs. I named them Rolex and Timex. You want to know why? Rolex
why?
And Timex? Because they're watchdogs.
I like it.
Oh, goodness. You have one to end us?
Yeah. One of the shortest wills ever written said, being of sound mind, I spent all the money.
There you go. Can't take it with you.
Yeah.
The Wib Wake Up Show, we did what we could to make us laugh Monday. We've been off for a little bit. Hopefully the Packers will not have this
better.
Kind of rust.
Well, it's Clean Your Desk Day, and I really didn't have any plans of celebrating or commemorating, but then frantically trying to get my jokes together to bring three jokes to the party at 7:45, our weekly joke-off here, and accidentally my arm just, boom, hits a very large Word Entertainment coffee mug and spilled it on my desk, onto the floor. Yeah, and so cleanup had to ensue, but that was after joining you on the air to share jokes. So
again, you spill the coffee all over the place, and then when you have to clean up, you're wondering, hey, what's the best use of cleaning apparatus? Perhaps you could use something from this fellow's museum, though I don't think he's apt to share them. There is a museum for everything, it seems like. We think about artwork, we think about dinosaur bones, but how about the Moist Towelette Museum?
A what? A Moist Towelette Museum?
A man in Michigan has a museum for wet wipes. John French is the owner of the Moist Towelette Museum. I can't believe there's really a market to visit this. He runs it out of a corner office at the Abrams Planetarium there in Lansing, Michigan, if you happen to be looking for a summer stop for your family vacation.
He has hundreds of individually wrapped moist towelettes from every continent except Antarctica.
That's actually pretty impressive.
His collection is more than 1,000.
What do you do at a Moist Towelette Museum? How do you admire them? One towelette he does not own yet, the one he calls the Holy Grail of moist towelettes.
Oh, if he could only get this one.
It's a Star Trek-themed collection with images of Captain Kirk and Spock.
Wow.
Wow.
That would be a keeper.
Yeah, there you go. So if you happen to see them, John French is his name from Lansing, Michigan.
Yeah.
If you happen to see a Spock moist towelette hanging around somewhere in an attic that hasn't completely shriveled up.
We know someone who's interested.
He would love it.
Well, kind of an interesting story here we didn't get to in the news this morning, Caleb. Milwaukee's been named one of four finalists to host the 2024 Republican National Convention. Now, you remember, they lost out on big dollars with everything that went on with the pandemic and the 2020 Democratic National Convention. But here's the final four. It's Milwaukee competing against Nashville, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay, and so this is probably going to be determined, decided in a few months?
Yeah, it'll be decided this spring. But here's the deal. I mean, what are you thinking about if you're the Democrats or the Republicans in choosing a place, right? I mean, can the city handle it? Can you handle all the guests and everything that goes? Milwaukee was already approved for the DNC, so they get that. And they'd still, but here's the deal is also it's got to be a state that's maybe on the edge that you really want to win their electoral votes. You need 270 to take the presidential contest in 2024. So I don't know, Tennessee, I mean, that's kind of in the Republican column pretty consistently, I think, in the Bible Belt. And then Salt Lake City, Utah goes Republican pretty consistently. So I think it comes down to Milwaukee or Pittsburgh.
It could be, but I just feel like the reason Democrats wanted it for the DNC, Republicans want it for the RNC is everybody loves Giannis. So why wouldn't you want to go to his hometown?
Right. There right? you go.
Let's go swimming. Let's go swimming. Yeah, let's go swimming. Let's go swimming. Let's go swimming in the bottom of the ocean.
Well, we can leave that to the fish, but if the fish are coming our direction and starting to drive, then maybe we should go to their territory as well. This is real, Halvo.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So this story came out recently. A group of scientists are training goldfish to drive what they call a, quote, fish-operated vehicle. They are training a goldfish to drive. The big question in my mind would be, why?
Would you rather be in a self-driving vehicle or one driven by goldfish?
The study conducted by researchers at Ben-Gurion University of the Negev in Israel aims to see if a goldfish's navigational skills would work on land. I wonder how busy their roads are. A small goldfish tank was placed on a set of wheels with the vehicle using a camera and remote sensing system that moves whatever direction the goldfish swims. The researchers train the fish to move the FOV, or fish-operated vehicle, toward targets with a food reward in return. Kind of a Pavlovian trick there. A press release from the study author said it appeared, quote, navigational ability is universal rather than specific to the waterborne environment.
Just, I can't get beyond the idea that the vehicle will move whichever way the goldfish swims. I mean, that, wow.
Hopefully it's a very small vehicle.
I guess.
Those FOVs.
Well, also, out of Oregon State University, a researcher there has learned how fish talk. Jill Munger was studying recordings from underwater microphones in the National Park of American Samoa and heard the damsel fish calls. They grind their teeth to create pops, clicks, and chirps associated with aggressive behavior in defense of their nest. She compares it to purring kittens. Munger says the information can be used to better understand changing ocean conditions.
So what are they going to fish say to one another when they're mad because someone cut them off in traffic?
Grr!
What does that sound like?
Yeah, exactly.
Like?
Hey, Mr. Grumpy Gills. When life gets you down, you know what you got to do?
I don't want to know what you got to do.
Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming, swimming, swimming.